Our message today will come from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to speak today on the simple subject of being saved. The Bible, I suppose one of the greatest texts of the Bible, and one of the greatest verses is found in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's talked about, it's an important quoted, it's repeated by many, many preachers, and you and I learned that passage of Scripture above all other passages of Scriptures. But is it true that just to be saved is enough? It speaks to all men that we must be born again. We know that. But, you know, there's many stories that relate to many different situations, and I'm going to be telling you just a few of them, but I want you to understand I'm not here to criticize. I'm not here to condemn. But the story about the drunk that was being baptized in the river, and he went down under the water. He came up out of the water, and the preacher said, "Did you find Jesus?" They ducked him down again and asked him the same question, "Did you find Jesus?" And he said, "Sir, are you sure this is where he went under?" Another story that's related is to us West Virginians, and folks, don't take me wrong now. I was born in Mingo County. I was born in Williamson, West Virginia back in 1935. I was born to West Virginian. I've lived in West Virginia all my life. I will die West Virginian, and I'm proud to be among the blue and the gold, because I am a diehard West Virginia person. But you've heard that old story about us West Virginians having one leg longer than the other because we were born on the hillside. Now, this is just stories that people tell. And then you've heard the statement say, "Well, if I could just get to heaven by the skin of my teeth." Well, you know there's no skin on the teeth, don't you? But it's just a statement that is being made. Another statement says, "My goal is to make heaven my home." Good, good, good. I like that, because I believe that we all must set our sights toward heaven. We must be people who are journeying to another country. We sing the song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." And that's true. I believe that heaven is going to be our future home. But heaven is not the goal. To be saved is the goal that God has planned for mankind. The goal is to do the will of the Father. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren," he said, "by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God." And then in verse 2, he said, "This is the perfect will of God." And we must seek for the will and the purpose and the plan of God. You see, heaven will be ours if we do the will of the Father. Jesus prayed in the garden when he was getting ready to go to the cross. He prayed in great agony. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that great drops of blood would flow from his brow. Now, Luke, being a physician that he was, would say that he was dying from a broken heart. But he was crying unto God. He was crying to the Father. And he said, "Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me." And he goes and he sees the disciples. I believe that Jesus saw something in man that we did not see. He saw Peter, James, and John being lost without the cross. And, sir, today all man is lost without the cross, because the Bible said without the shedding of blood there is no remission for sin. And to find the will of God sometime becomes a struggle. And Jesus even struggles against the flesh. Why did Jesus die to begin with? Because he needed to become the first fruits to them that died. You see, he was wrapped in a fleshly body just like you and I. All flesh must die. All flesh must give up the ghost. All flesh must be changed from corruption into an incorruptible body. And Jesus was wrapped in a body of flesh. He was as flesh as I am. He was as real as I am. He felt pain. He felt suffering. But he had to find the will of God. And in the garden, as he began to pray, he realized his will, his plan, and his purpose was to do the will of God, to die upon a rugged cross for the sins of the people. Peter could not pay the debt for his sin. John could not pay the debt for his sin. Only Jesus and his blood would have to pay the sin debt. And Jesus goes back, and this time he prays a different prayer. He says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, heaven is not the goal. The goal is to do the will of the Father. To do God's will is the goal that we must have. Heaven comes in the future, sir, when these bodies have laid down their last breath, when these eyes have closed for the last time, then heaven will surely be our home. But when we pray, we must not pray, God, if it be your will. Are you asking God? Are you seeking for God? Or are you hoping that God will show you just exactly what his will is? Sir, I'm prone to believe if we are praying the prayer, if it be thy will. Now, I have different versions of this because it's all right. Now, I'm not condemning you if you pray that away. But get in the book, sir. Find out what is the will of God. The Bible is the last will and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been forever settled. The book was written so many, many years ago. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God said it, I believe it, and that's good enough for me. But you know, going back to that statement, it's true whether we believe it or not. A lady who was visited by a pastor, and the pastor knocks upon the door and asks the lady, he said, ma'am, do you go to church? She said, yes, I do. He said, well, ma'am, which church do you go to? And she said, well, I go to a certain church. And she asked the question, why do you go there? She said, because they believe what I believe. And he said to her, he said, well, what do you believe? She said, I believe what they believe. And he said, well, ma'am, I'm not getting anywhere like this. He said, what do you both believe? Oh, she said, we both believe in the same thing. Well, a lot of people go to church simply because they believe all the same thing. But you see, we always have stories that relate back to God. You see, the answer, sir, is this. A great man of God was asked a question one day. Have you always walked in the will of God? Have you always walked in the will, the plan, and the purpose of God? And the man made gave the answer by saying this, if I walk 6 months down the road and God receives all the glory, then I have walked in the will, the plan, and the purpose of God. But if I have walked 6 months down the road and everything I've done has only been to please me, then I have walked contrary to the will of God. And that's a very good answer. Are we walking in the will of God? And a lot of folks come back at you and say, well, you don't know the trouble that I've had. Nobody knows the problem. Nobody knows the situation. It seemed like the devil battles me on every hand. But, sir, I've got good news for you today. Your battle is not to defeat the devil. Your battle is to simply believe that he's already been defeated. You see, Jesus defeated him at Calvary. The will, the plan, and the purpose of God for Jesus on the cross of Calvary was not only to die for the sins of the world, but his plan and purpose was to defeat the devil. You see, a great war goes on at Calvary. Evil on one side, good on the other side. But when Jesus died at Calvary, when Jesus said, Father, it's finished, and into thy hands I commend my spirit, he meant exactly what he said. It had been finished. Satan had been disgraced. He had been dethroned, and he had been defeated at Calvary. Jesus put his foot upon him and said, Satan, you no longer have any power and no longer have any authority. That's why that on the day of Pentecost, he said, ye shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And listen, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Now, ma'am, let me tell you something, sir. Let me tell you something. There is a powerful force in this world. There is a force that battles against good. There is a force, but the Bible said, and Paul said, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of powers. We cannot stick our head in the sand and say that it's not going on. There is a devil out there. There is a devil, and he's a loose. He goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But don't be afraid of him just because he roars in the path. Stand against him, because God said, when the enemy would come in, I will lift a great high standard against him. God's got power. God's got authority. And God give to his children power and authority over the devil. We receive power. We need to go back to Pentecost. Two great episodes happen at Pentecost. 3,000 people got saved, and the disciples received the power of the Holy Spirit, and also all of them that got saved received the same power on the day of Pentecost. They went outside, and they turned the world upside down, God working with them with signs and miracles and wonders. And today, God still works with the people because the devil hath been defeated. I say praise the Lord to that. He has no power. Sin cannot have dominion over you, sir, because when you walk in the plan and the will and the purpose of God, all things have been defeated. Now, please don't take me wrong. Don't think that you're going to go home, sit on the seat of do nothing and do nothing. You're not going to sit down and be at ease in Zion, because once you turn again the powers of hell, you are going to be battled on every hand. Paul said, there has been given to me a messenger of Satan, and I have been buffeted day and night, lest I be exalted that above measure. But he prayed and said, God, remove this thorn from my flesh. But God said, my grace is sufficient. And today, child of God, I'm telling you, God's grace is sufficient. Satan cannot stop you from doing God's will for you and for others, that your life can touch other lives. And that's why I say so many times on this broadcast that if God be for you, then who in this world can be again you? He lifts that great high standard. Paul went back to say that I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. But you see, we've got to give notice to the devil that our goal is not heaven. Our goal is not to go around working the mighty miracles of God. Our goal is simply to find the will of God. What is God's will? What is God's plan? What is God's purpose for my life? Because if I get in step with God and I walk with God, not contrary to God, I don't walk behind God. I mean, I don't walk in front of God. I simply follow Him. I follow His plan. And I know that all things are going to work together for good that love the Lord. You know the antidote for today's message? You know the antidote for finding the will of God is start thinking right. We must start thinking exactly the way that God wants us to think, being transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the renewing of our thinking, by the renewing of our doing, not only to talk a good talk, but to fight a good fight and to do the things that God is calling us to do. And not only that, but to acting them out. Speak them verbally. Tell the devil today, devil, you have no authority. Devil, you have no power. You see, his will is my strength. God's will is going to be my strength. And my strength is saying to the devil, devil, this is a stopping point. You can come no farther because God's blood has been applied to my life. Jesus Christ died at Calvary. I died at Calvary. Jesus came alive, victorious over hell, death, and the grave, and also did I. When I died, the old man died. I died at Calvary. I came alive to Christ. I became a brand new creation in Christ Jesus, and now I'm walking in the plan. I'm walking in the will, and Satan, you cannot break that will. Well, I say praise the Lord today because I can do all things through Christ that is living within me, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. So what is the goal? The goal is simply finding the will and the plan and the purpose of God, presenting your body and your mind and your spirit as a perfect example to God, and beseeching God that your body be the living example or the living sacrifice that God needs in your life, that He might reach others through you.